Good to be with you and to share the Word of God together. I think it was an Irishman who said, "Before I speak, I'd like to say a few words." Anyway, I think it's about 30 years since I ever visited 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel, and obviously you've been renovated, which is great. First time I came here was about 70 years ago. And I won't tell you, but Harold looked a lot younger then. But I remember his dad was a very gracious man, and he ministered in this church. And I enjoyed meeting him. For many years, God has blessed us, given us opportunities to serve Him in different parts of the world. And I must say, God is faithful because He has supplied our needs for all those years. Audrey and I have been married 65 years. Unfortunately, she is now in a nursing home and not necessarily always knowing who I am, which is rather hard, but the Lord knows and we go on from day to day. I have a kind family that look after me, and Dr. David here has brought me over several times to visit. It's wonderful to be able to get around. My next birthday will be number 96. So it's wonderful to be able to come. The Lord bless you and keep you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful memories that come. All the memories of your kindness, your faithfulness, and a fellowship with your people. Thank you. Thank you for so many blessings. Please help us as we look into your word. May it reach into hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. I must say I miss a lot of dear friends as I am here with you. I can't really see you, of course, but I know you're there. That was great singing, by the way. Well, today we're going to the Old Testament, to a book that never mentions the name of God. Isn't that surprising? A book in the Bible never mentioning the name of God. But as is often said about the book, there is no book in the Bible where the hand of God is more obvious. The name of God may be missing, but the purposes of God are very present and clear. Let's just have a little bit of history. In the year 586 BC, before Christ, there was a terrible invasion of the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army under Nebuchadnezzar. He was a very determined sort of person and very proud, used to build images of himself and so on. Well, after Nebuchadnezzar had been in Jerusalem, of course, he took away many prisoners. And it would appear that he made sure to take as prisoners some of the very best intelligently acquired people. People who belonged to the royal family, for example. And they went to live, of course, in Babylon. Well, years later, The Babylonian Empire was overwhelmed by the Persian Empire. And let's see, late in the 5th century BC, a king called Artaxerxes, that is in Hebrew thinking, his name was Xerxes, was the king. There are four people in my story that are very important. King Xerxes, or Ahasuerus, and then there was a person called Mordecai, and a lady who was called Hadassah, or Esther, and finally, the sort of villain of the piece, if you will, was a man called Haman. Those four people were characterized in the story. Now, obviously, you've heard the name of the book in the Bible. Did you catch it? Anyway, it is the last historical book in the Old Testament. There are 12, well, there are 5 books of the law, and then there are 12 historical books. This is the last of the dozen. And of course, it's called the Book of Esther. It is not mentioned in the New Testament. That's surprising too. Usually the other books are referred to in some way in the New Testament. But Book of Esther, no quotation. But I want you to remember this verse. It's chapter 4, and I think it's verse 14. Who knows that you may have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Think of these words, for such a time as this. I'd like to just paraphrase it a little better. It may know, or who knows, it may be that you have come to this church for such a time as this. Years ago, I had a mission in a very fashionable church in the city of London, England. It was a difficult time, more or less a time around the Queen's coronation, our late beloved Queen, 1953, I believe. Anyway, he put out a little brochure which said, for such a time as this. It was beautifully done and distributed around the area of the church. And each night we had a rather special emphasis, like there would be a teacher's night, a medical night, or a farmer's night, and those kind of people were invited. For such a time as this. It was a difficult experience. I forget exactly what had happened, but I knew it was a pretty good shake-up in Britain. And people were worried. And so this little brochure, based on the Book of Esther, was to sort of give people a little lift, make them think, for such a time as this. Okay, well now, let's go through the story. There was King Artaxerxes, evidently he was a real despot. And what he said was law. In fact, there's a little saying in the Bible, the law of the Medes and Persians does not change. Once it's written, that's it. And he was very proud, very powerful, and he had 127 provinces. And one day he decided he was going to have a special banquet for all the leaders of his great empire. And for a whole week, they just ate and drank. And you can imagine the state they were in. And he thought, how can I entertain these guys? So he called his queen, whose name was Queen Vashti, and I presume he asked her to perform. And surprisingly, she said, I'm sorry, I'm not coming. It really made him mad. And he thought, what am I going to do? Well, to cut a long story short, he dismissed the queen. He said, you can't be queen anymore. You don't do what I ask you. You don't do what I tell you. Wow, how would you like to have a husband like that? Anyway, he said, we're going to get another queen. How do we do that? So he called his counselors together and they said, well, put out a message that you want all the beautiful girls, the best you can find, through the empire. Okay. He decided that wasn't a bad idea. And you know, they had to go into a special place where they were looked after for one whole year. And they were given all kinds of beauty treatment and, oh, just imagine. And one of those girls happened to be a Jewess. And she was an orphan girl. Her mom and dad had died. And her cousin, this gentleman called Mordecai, a Jew, who in fact belonged to the royal family back in Judah. If you read the list, you'll see he was a Benjamite and he was related to Kish, which of course was the father of Saul. So he had all sorts of reputation. He was a very kind man, and he took this girl when she was quite young into his home and brought her up. And somehow, it doesn't tell us how, she was chosen, because it says she was beautiful of form and face. That tells you a lot. And as the queen disappeared, Queen Vashti, the king sort of looked over all this bunch of women, and he picked this girl, Hadassah, Esther, to be his queen. Now Mordecai, remember, is a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, from Judah. And he says to Esther, don't tell them you're a Jew. Don't tell them where you come from. So she said, all right, that's what you want, because he was very kind. And every day, by the way, he went to the palace courtyard to make sure they were treating Esther well. He was very concerned for her, obviously a man of heart. Okay, well, let's skip over a little bit. There was a guy who had somehow been elevated in the court of King Xerxes to be a sort of counselor to the king. His name was Haman. This guy, he had such a big head, and he was so self-important that he managed to get the king to agree that everybody should sort of bow down to him when he traveled in his chariot or walked down the street. He sort of thought of himself almost as a kind of god. You know, I'm so important. I'm like God. Everybody's going to bow down. Well, Mordecai, the Jew, would see him coming and he would refuse to bow down. First time, not too bad. Second time, worse. But when he refused every time to bow down to this man, you could see Mordecai was a man of principle, a man who had faith in God, a man who refused to bow down to anybody else as if he were God instead of his Lord Jehovah, the God of the Jews, a man of principle, a man of purpose, a man of kindness. All those virtues should be seen in us if we're Christians. And Haman got so mad that he quit eating his food, became very miserable at home, and his wife and her friends, they said, well, goodness, why is he miserable with all the stuff you have going for you? Why don't you get rid of the guy? So he built a gallows. Great big thing. I forget just the numbers now, but you'll find it in the book. I think it was about 75 feet high, which sounds ridiculous. Maybe it wasn't quite that high, but he built this great gallows because he said, okay, I'm going to get level not only with this guy, Mordecai the Jews, but with all the Jews. I'm going to exterminate them. There are too many of them in our empire. Genocide. Ever heard the word? It's often on the news these days. But this was Haman, the Agagite. Now, if you look back the story of the Agagites, that is also very interesting. Anyway, we can't do that now. And he was waiting for an opportunity to somehow get Mordecai. And his friend said, well, why don't you cast a lot? Now, there's a word in the Persian language, P-U-R, you say pur, its plural is purim, purim. And he wanted to cast a lot to find out which would be the best way and time and date to exterminate the Jews, including this guy he hated. Turned out to be the 13th day of a month called Adar. That's on the Jewish calendar. And by the way, I think it was about March the 13th this year, 2024. By the way, next weekend is Passover. It's very interesting if you follow the feasts. There's a book about it on that table, by the way. The Feasts of the Lord. I think it's called Festivals of Thanksgiving, if you're interested. Those books, by the way, they're all pretty well half price, so they're bargains today. Anyway, so it turned out to be the day he was going to do them in, March the 12th, 13th in our calendar this year. Now, something rather interesting happened. Remember that word pure, purim. It's going to come back. Have you ever had a sleepless night? Is that sort of something you would have known about? I've had a few. And had a good one last night, by the way. But it says the king couldn't sleep. So what? Well, evidently his mind was working, and he said, bring out the annals of the kingdom. I want to see all the books about recent history. And as they were going through the books, they came across a story of a plot to kill the king. And who was the one who found out about the plot and reported it to the authorities and saved the king's life? But this man, Mordecai, the Jew. I don't know how he found out about it. Maybe he had long ears, listening. He found out. And the king said, well, what did they do for the man who saved my life? Right down the page, nothing, nothing. Didn't give him a nickel. Well, he said, I'm going to find the man, and that man can be second in the kingdom. He has saved my life, saved my future. So they find Mordecai and put all sorts of stuff on him, you know, beautiful clothes, gowns, and he rode in special chariot. Poor old Haman, when he saw this happening, he was really up a tree. He was nearly out of his mind. This Jew was being honored above him. But he still kept his crafty mind going. But you know what happened? Queen Esther, by the way, remember, she's now the queen. Queen Esther gets a message from her cousin Mordecai telling her what was planned by Haman, this genocide. And Mordecai reminds her, he said, now listen, I know you're in an awkward position. I know you're in the palace. I know you're the queen. But if Haman's plan is carried through, you're going to be murdered as well. And your parents will perish. And all your fellow countrymen. Now, our text. Who knows? Maybe you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And by the way, if you do not help, if you do not intervene in this critical moment, help will come from another place. How about that? That's faith. Mordecai had deep faith. He believed in God, but he also believed that you have to live properly and do what you can. Like Oliver Cromwell said, you trust in God, but keep your powder dry. And like Nehemiah, in fact, you remember Nehemiah when they were building the wall? He had the men hang a sword on their side. They were building, but they were ready. Who knows? Maybe you came to 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel for such a time as this today. Okay, so the story goes that the queen now invites the king to a banquet with Haman. You see, Mordecai had said to her, you've got to do something. Well, she said in reply, you know, no one's allowed into the presence of the king unless you're invited. Unless he hands up the royal scepter. Otherwise, you get your head chopped off. But she said, if I perish, I perish. Boy, that's tough, isn't it? That's what you call courage. If I perish, I perish. I'll do what you say if I can. And so, well, she, it happened, and now she had the privilege of inviting the king and Haman. Haman goes home to his wife and he says, hey, you know what? The queen has invited me to a special banquet. Oh, that's great. Okay. Well, when he got there, everything was wonderful, of course. Just a banquet for three. That's Esther and Mordecai. Now, wait a minute. Yes, the other guy, Haman, they were all there for lunch. Nothing happened. Except she said, I want you to come back on Thursday for another banquet. So the king began to think, hey, this woman wants something. He said, you can have half my kingdom. But tell me what it is that you are requesting. And she blew the beans, as we say. She told the story. She said, well, actually, Haman, who is with us, is going to annihilate the Jews, and I am a Jewess. You can sort of see the king's face turning red, and he's looking mad. You know, are you kidding? Is this true? Absolutely. And King Ahasuerus, Xerxes or whatever, he said, okay, take this man out of my presence. He is going to die. Wow. Poor old Haman, he went home in sackcloth to his family and told them all the news. I thought I was going to have a great position given to me, and now I'm being carted off to prison. The day I chose, pure, isn't going to happen. And messengers had gone all through the kingdom now explaining that the Jews were to be saved. Wherever they were to be recognized. And unfortunately, it turned into a massacre. The Jews turned on the very difficult people around them. And that's a rather sad side of the story that doesn't have a sort of Christian feeling. Revenge. You know, that's happening in Israel today, too. I heard a commentator on the news say the other day, there's never been any destruction like this before of people who are enemies of the Jews. And I shouted at the television, I said, read your Bible! Boy, if you read the Old Testament, there's some pretty rough stories, I'll tell you. The Jews can be really rough. And the day came, imagine, the day of Purim, when Haman was hanged on the gallows he had built for Mordecai. His sons were killed also. It's a miserable kind of sort of painful end of the story. And the Jewish rabbis today, they say, we are not celebrating the destruction of our enemies. We are just praising God for his deliverance, because they still have the Feast of Purim. And just like we celebrate some special day, Canada Day, the Day of Purim is a very special day in Israel. And it happened about 3 weeks ago. But you know, there's another day coming too. On April the 22nd, I believe it is, in the evening, Passover will begin. What a different story that is. Instead of the story of destruction, it's the story of salvation, because it prepares and signifies the story of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, who came to save us. And you know, God has a wonderful way of taking care of things. We think some things are a mistake. Later on, we discover it was meant for a purpose. And some awful day comes in your life, and you say, oh, where's God? But you know, it may be that you've come to that day for God's special purpose. And although there are many sort of difficult parts in this story, it is a story of kindness, it is a story of grace, it is a story of love and rescue and salvation. And there's so many parallels in this story as I think about the Lord Jesus, who was so kind, so gracious, so caring, so giving, in fact, willing to give his life for us. You know, last week, three of my fellow countrymen were killed in Gaza. It's causing an awful lot of trouble because the people of the area believe it was deliberate. But as they told the story on BBC television, the man said this: those three Englishmen gave their lives to save many people because they were handing out food to those who were hungry. But unfortunately, it cost them everything. I thought, oh dear, what did their death accomplish? It was as though they died in vain. And then I thought about the Lord Jesus, who did not die in vain. He died a cruel death. But as the Bible says, he gave himself for me. Jesus died for you. It wasn't a death in vain. Look at the millions of Christians there are across the world. They are saved, rescued, because of what Jesus did on the day of Passover in 33 AD. Do you think you might have come here today to think about this story? Do you think you might have come here because God planned it? You thought you were just coming, you know, put your best suit on, go to church. But it may be that you came to this church for such a time as this. I don't know. But for your own sake, don't miss it. Several of us here would be happy to sit and have a little prayer with you if you feel, you know, that maybe there's something you need to do for such a time as this as a Christian. You've been reluctant. Remember what Esther said? If I perish, I perish. If it hurts, it's going to hurt. But I'm going through with it. And maybe somebody here, it's sort of foreign to you what I've been talking about. Well, let's explain things. And if you would like to have a sense that, yes, God's time has come and I'm ready, let's talk about it, eh? Lots of others here too, be glad to talk to you. Let's pray. God, a God of purpose, a God of planning, God of creation, God of grace. If we are here and we kind of sense that God has brought us here, please help us to just clinch the moment, make our decision of faith, or commit to whatever God is calling us to do. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, for your amazing grace. Imagine coming to save somebody like me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Please help us, Lord, to move out quietly, thoughtfully. If there are those who need help, let us be available to help. We give thanks and praise you, Lord, for all your goodness. In Jesus' name.